Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spring, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to Belmont Buzz. I'm your host, Joanna Juvelis, senior multimedia journalist for the Belmont Citizen Herald and Wicked Local Belmont, and your local news beat. Today's guests are Amanda Fernandez and Jill Norton. They are co-founders of a very new organization in Belmont called the Belmont Family Engagement Network, also known as BFEN. Welcome, Amanda and Jill. Jill, why don't we start with you?
Great. I'm Jill Norton. I have been in Belmont for almost 20 years, and I have two children, a sixth grader and a kindergartner, and have worked in education for my whole career, starting out as a public school teacher and working in various nonprofits and at the state level in state policy. So that's me in a nutshell.
Nice to meet you, Jill. I've known you though, but we'll get into that later. Amanda?
Hi there, Amanda Fernandez. And I've been a resident of Belmont for going on 11 years. I've got two children that are at the Chenery. And my background is 13 years in education with a focus on equity. And prior to that, my career was focused on human capital and diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. So I've been committed to ensuring that all children in our country get access to a great education. So my professional life is that I'm the CEO and founder of an organization called Latinos for Education. So I bring that lens to everything that I do. And it's a lens that I bring to the work of BFEN.
Now, how did the two of you know each other?
We met actually as parents at Wellington, but we have a ton of work connections.
Really?
So we once we met each other, we realized that our work networks overlapped quite a bit. And then we have boys the same age.
And we're both from the Midwest, and we found that out, and that was kind of like, oh wow, no wonder we're sort of act the same way some on certain things. It's that sort of Midwest way of being. So that was a commonality that we continue to chuckle at, because we've got similar life experiences.
How did you both end up in Belmont? What brought you to Belmont?
We didn't know anyone in Belmont, my husband and I, when we found a place here. We just liked the location and the proximity to work, the jobs that we had at the time, and sort of just lucked out, really, and felt like this just has been, for the last nearly 20 years, a really good fit for us. So,
how about you, Amanda?
Yeah, we were living in Providence, Rhode Island. It's where both my children were born. And my husband, who works in the pharmaceutical industry, was transferred to a job in Kendall Square. And so I didn't know anything about where to move to or sort of how things work in Boston or Cambridge or frankly, any of the suburbs. And I will tell you, we went through several months of very painful house hunting. And this was 11 years ago. And I remember, really. So I remember seeing this town, Belmont, and reading about Belmont, and of course, reading about the schools. And we came here and we walked into the house that we're living in, and that was it. And we said, this is the place, and same kind of great proximity to the city, because I'm in the city a lot, and obviously a nice place to raise children. So that's what brought us here.
Okay, well, now the two of you have to tell everybody how this organization, Belmont Family Engagement Network, came to be. How was it born? Which one of you wants to tell?
So I'll go ahead and give a little bit of the backstory there. So as we just mentioned, Jill and I had met through other means, both because of our children, the school they went to, et cetera. And as we got to know each other, it was right around the time that the high school, middle school was about to actually was getting voted on, and we were about to sort of break ground on it. And this was prior to the pandemic. And so Jill and I, being sort of the kind of folks who are sort of have our hands in a lot of areas of education, we are always sort of thinking about what's happening in the sector, what are the innovations happening in the sector, how should we be thinking about education in Belmont? And we would have many of those conversations as education colleagues. And so as we started to learn more about what was happening with the building of the middle and high school, we realized that it could be a very good opportunity for us to think about how we might engage families in the process of what teaching and learning might look like. We have this opportunity of this new building. We want to see what the role of families is in helping to shape and craft what teaching and learning can look like. So this was prior to the pandemic. And then, of course, the pandemic hit, and yet that didn't stop us. So just a little bit about the purpose of the organization. We really are about co-creating a vision for education in the Belmont Public Schools, regardless of where we are in a point in time, especially as a result of the pandemic. Our kids are what binds us as a community. And we felt that this was a great opportunity for families to be engaged in an inclusive manner, to make sure that our voices were elevated and part of the dialogue of how teaching and learning would be happening within the Belmont Public Schools. So we really are about district-wide family engagement. It's important to us that families are seen as equal partners, as co-creators in how we do teaching and learning.
Okay, and there really isn't an organization like this. You know, prior to this, there was nothing like it. I really think it's pretty impressive that you thought about this and launched it just earlier this year in January. Do you want to tell me how you launched it?
Sure, I can tell you a little bit about the pre-work that we did. So we actually started talking about this, as Amanda said, before the pandemic, and really about the district reconfiguration work, and started having conversations with district leaders and school committee about, you know, what role families might play. And then we had, you know, we did a lot of questioning of ourselves. We had this sort of thought, this could be an interesting time to have families be involved. We looked at other parent and family-led organizations in Belmont to try to figure out, you know, is there another organization that's doing the kind of work that we're thinking about? And had a lot of conversations. I think we talked to about 80 other community members from community groups and just individual community leaders about what we were thinking and planning. We asked for their feedback. And really came away with the knowledge that there isn't anyone else doing what we were talking about doing, and really providing just a platform for families to come and speak for themselves about what they cared about, what they care most about, their kids learning and experiencing and feeling in the Belmont Public Schools.
And how has the response been?
So, well, go ahead.
Who goes first? I was just going to talk about the response to our events.
Yes, go ahead.
But we, jump in here when I'm done, Amanda. We sort of were setting a goal that we would be happy with if we just could reach 100 people registered for our first event. And I think we ended up with close to 250
people registered. You're kidding me. That's
amazing. Which is great.
That's really amazing.
We ended up with just under 100 coming, but we were so thrilled at the initial reaction that to get that many folks to sign up and register for an organization that was just created. And we've since had a second community conversation where we had almost 100 folks attend as well. And so there's clearly some interest in this from the community. And
what have you accomplished with these first two events that you call? I like how you call them community conversations.
Yeah, that's exactly how it was so important to us that the beginning of our work was about opening up an opportunity that was inclusive for families to be able to be front and center, have their voices heard. And what our first steps as BFEN have been, just to kind of go back a bit. So we've structured these three community conversations. One in ended up being in February, one in March, and then one in May. And each step of the conversations has a different voice that we want to hear. So first, we wanted to understand from our families what was their own vision for their children in the Belmont Public Schools. Mm-hmm. What did they want their children to feel like, be like coming out of the Belmont Public Schools? And that was just really high level. Let's just take a pause because there's so much going on around us right now to talk about our own dreams for our families and our children. And that's really what that was about. But out of that, we got some really important feedback from our families that ended up being very important themes around what were the outcomes they wanted to see for their children coming out of the Belmont Public Schools. So when they leave here, what should they know? What characteristics do they want to see in their children, et cetera, that the Belmont Public Schools can help support? The second event that we had, or community conversation that we had, was about marrying the themes from the first meeting with work that a handful of Belmont Public School teachers had been working on prior to the pandemic that was very similar around what is a Belmont Public School student? What do we want them to learn? What competencies do we want them to have? And right. So what was super interesting was that the teachers presented the work that they've done so far with our families. And then we were able to go into breakout groups with both educators and families to talk about and integrate what the teachers see as who are Belmont students and what families see. We found a lot of overlap and similarities, but we also found some differences. Our third convening, which will be held in May, will be focused on hearing from students. So that is the other voice that needs to be included in this, because they're the ones directly receiving education. So what this does is it lays the foundation of the themes that cut across as to what students want, families want, educators want. And that's really going to be the springboard for us to next year be working on this vision and this collective vision, where families are a part of co-creating that vision of what we want for our students.
Okay. Now, were these community conversations recorded, if anybody wants to watch a replay?
It's a good question. They weren't. And the reason is that most of our work in community conversations is done in small groups with families talking to each other. So, so we do
prefer not to record. I understand.
Well, it would be hard because at our first event, we had 28 breakout groups with families talking in small groups.
And you're doing all this via Zoom?
We're doing all this via Zoom.
It's pretty amazing, right?
Yeah.
Today so I'll be in person.
Yeah.
We look forward to that day, but with Zoom, we've been able to, again, as with sort of
almost like you can do more with Zoom.
That's right, because people can come on a Wednesday night at 7 o'clock.
Yeah. It's right. A lot easier. You don't have to leave your home.
That's right.
So Janet, just one more thing on the recording. So because of that, we haven't recorded them, but we have note takers at all the small group sessions. So we posted for anybody who couldn't get there, had a scheduling conflict, or you know, or had to deal with children's bedtimes, and just right. couldn't get there during the time that we held the event. We're posting the notes from the small group conversations.
Oh, that's great!
And then we're summarizing the notes and sharing more broadly, and also sharing with school committee and district leaders what we're hearing from families.
Well, that leads to my next question about your role and how you are working with the school committee, with the school administration, and other organizations in town.
So we started this in conversation with district leadership and school committee, one school committee member in particular, just the idea of it and sort of helping to brainstorm what might this look like and could this be helpful. And since we've launched, Amy Checkaway has been designated as our BFN liaison. So we have a link built in to our structure and to our governance that is an open line of communication with the school committee so that they know what we're up to and can weigh in and provide feedback to us along the way. We really see our role as helping supporting what school committee is doing. They couldn't possibly hold 3-hour public comment sessions or hour and a half long Zoom sessions to let families say what they're interested in or facilitate this work. They're already working quite hard on the things that they're responsible for. So we felt like we could help support their work by organizing and creating this platform for families to come together and speak for themselves. We're the facilitators of those voices and conversations. And hopefully that will over time be really helpful to school committee as they're making their decisions to have a place they can go where they can see what many families are thinking about and prioritizing and hoping to see.
Are you a 501(c) organization or are you a formal town committee or board?
We are all volunteer and we have no one's getting paid. We have no formal structure. Over time, perhaps, we've only been in existence for 3 months, going on 4. And so we wanted to make sure that this is that BFN is an idea that resonates and that has contributions to make. And then over time, if that proves to be true, I think we would look to become a more permanent structure.
Okay. So the two of you are the co-founders, but you also have some other people. I don't know, do you call them board members or what do you call them? And can you tell me about who those are and how they were selected?
Sure. Amanda, do you want to take that one?
Sure. So we had a founding group. Well, first it was Jill and I, and then we were having conversations with other community members and thinking about who would want to or who could contribute to what has been quite a bit of work, which is weekly meetings and then all of the work in between to prepare for these community conversations. And again, the initial outreach, what we were able to identify some folks who were interested and also had education background. So Martha Loftus, a Wellington and now Chenery mom, who works in higher education, is part of our group. Emily Rodriguez is an educator and education leader. by background. And that's been sort of the core of the group. And then we're adding more as we speak. We have a couple of new members who will be joining us soon. It's a work in progress because we know that the kind of structure we want needs to A, have more people in it, B, be diverse and inclusive of many family perspectives in terms of the sort of committee of folks who are doing the organizing and planning of BFN and the work that we do. So it's ongoing. We're still very early days in sort of building up that structure. We envision that as BFN grows and more families become involved, that we'll probably set up different committee structures and other ways for families and individuals to contribute. We know not everybody would be able to meet on a weekly basis and sort of have that sort of intensity of work that we've had in the last several months. At the same time, we want to find avenues for people to get involved.
Will you have student representatives?
We're actually...
I think we should.
Yeah. We've been talking about it since we created BFN. And we think that this next community conversation on May 5th, where students will be the leading voice, will be an opportunity for us to connect with some students and figure out what the right role for them might be. But over time, we have talked about having a structure that would be like an advisory board, and students would absolutely be one of the voices on that advisory board.
Okay. Well, why don't we talk about the override, which recently did not pass, and how that may affect your organization, you know, your vision, your goals. You might have a plan.
Yeah.
If it passed, now you may have a plan now that it didn't pass, or maybe it doesn't affect you at all.
Well, I think it maybe, I don't think it's affected the work that we want to do, but it might affect the way that we think about it. One of our priorities is to ensure adequate funding in the Belmont Public Schools. So we identified that early on before we even knew there was going to be an override vote this year. Our hope is that the visioning work that Amanda was describing that we're doing that helps families be included in the development of a vision for what teaching and learning looks like for Belmont Public Schools is going to help folks feel more invested in the Belmont Public Schools and will ultimately lead to us examining how we fund and support education in Belmont. And so we think our work is tied. We think that the visioning work that we're doing is tightly tied to how much people are willing to invest in public schools and how they see the need for more investment in public schools. Amanda, what would you add?
I think that's right. Again, the timing, you know, our timing, ultimately, it would have been, I think, interesting for us to have had the time to sort of create the vision and in collaboration with educators and the district to understand sort of what is it going to take to realize our vision, both, you know, with resources and capacity. We didn't have that luxury. So as Jill said, though, it doesn't really matter because the work has to get done in terms of Belmont and families truly having a voice and a seat at the table in terms of the type of educational experience we want for our children.
Right.
You know, the world is changing. Everything is changing. Education is changing dramatically. And so we want to make sure that families are part of the evolution of education in Belmont. And certainly there's going to be financial implications on that. But we think that, as Jill said, by having investment of families, but also some real tangible elements of what we sort of what makes up a great education in Belmont based on the vision that families have put forth, that it's you're going to be able to connect dollars to very tangible ways in which education needs to look like in BPS.
Well, speaking of of funding. Foundation for Belmont Education does do a lot of fundraising. How will you be working with that organization, as well as the PTOs for all the schools?
Yeah, we talked all of those organizations before we founded BFEN, and we're excited to work with the FBE on. When we met with them to tell them about our ideas, they said, okay, we kind of see that you all are going to help think about what teaching and learning will look like in the Belmont Public Schools. We're thinking about how do we support innovation and fund that in the Belmont Public Schools. And so it's it's a good collaboration, and we're not redundant. We're not tripping over each other or trying to do the same things. We see it as a real partnership. And so it'll be good once we get going to identify more ways that we can work with the FBE. And then for the PTAs, I mean, we're at the district level. So I think the PTAs at their individual schools are ways for parents to be involved and to support largely enrichment work and volunteer opportunities in each individual school. But our work is focused on a district level, more of a policy voice district-wide. And making sure that families, while they might have a seat at their PTA table and be able to talk about changes happening at their schools, that BFEN would be a way for parents to weigh in and have a voice about what's happening at the district level.
Okay. Now, COVID. Let's just talk about COVID, because your organization was born during the pandemic. So did the pandemic have anything to do with your motivation for this organization?
So I think initially COVID wasn't part of the equation when we were thinking about what the BFEN group would do. I think though COVID, as with every district in America, has shone a light on the education system and ways in which the system can evolve. So I think that certainly the pandemic and the impact on our schools accelerated our own sort of desire to get moving on the work, because we knew that eventually COVID's going to go away.
I hope
right?
so.
Right. I know. Right. Knock on wood. Being the optimist that, we're going to be going back into buildings, and we want this to be an opportunity for us to again, co-create and to craft a different narrative for Belmont Public Schools of the future. And so certainly the pandemic accelerated our work and us wanting to make sure that we were a part of the thinking that's going to go into the future of Belmont schools.
The only other thing I would add to everything Amanda said, which is spot on, is just that when the pandemic initially happened, we thought, well, we'll step back because we're really interested in focusing on this visioning and the opportunities of redistricting. And then things became divisive, and because we don't have the normal spaces to all come together and be together, we realized this was exactly the time that we needed to launch, even in the midst of a pandemic, because we needed to provide a space for families to come together and talk to each other, which is another reason why our events are so heavily focused on small groups of families right. getting to know each other and talk with each other and share what they're thinking and feeling, and an opportunity for folks who don't agree to hear from each other and to find, to listen to each other, see things from other people's perspectives, and hopefully to find some common ground. That's kind of what we've seen happen in the last two community conversations. So COVID kind of pushed us, even though we didn't focus on that as a particular topic in our work. It did provide an opportunity and the impetus for us to found BFEN when we did.
Right. Well, speaking of the impetus, Belmont Public Schools are going to be changing dramatically, right? We're going to have, once that middle and high school opens, but really once the seventh and eighth graders move into that building, which will be, I guess, a year from the fall, right? Fall of 2022, I believe. is when they're expected to move in. That's when the grade configurations in all of Belmont schools will change. We'll have K through 3 and 4 through 6 and 7 through 12. And so can you tell me more about how your organization, you know, will help with those transitions and you know, just configure new configurations?
We have a little bit of time, but not a lot of time. And it is an evolution too. So the work of education improvements and visioning and adapting, and it never ends. But with that said, the work that we're doing now with this vision work, we're focusing on high school students. I mean, so the work around what do we want a Belmont High School graduate to experience and sort of look like and be like as they leave the district. But once we have that, we actually have to work all the way back to pre-K, where we think about, so what does it mean for all the grades behind that? So the work really is starting from this place of this profile of a graduate, if you will, and then working back to establish what are the competencies that kids need to be building along the way from the beginning of their educational experience in Belmont Public Schools. And I think there's a lot of alignment with the district on that. I think they're very well aware of that. And they've been working on it. But I think our role then is to make sure that we have parent voice and engagement all along in sort of crafting what that looks like. And I think that will sort of ease some of the transitions that need to be made, because most of those transitions are really physical buildings that kids are going to be going to that are different. So there's that piece of it, but there's also this, you know, bigger picture work of the skills and competencies that we want to build in students from pre-K to 12.
Okay.
Yeah, we heard some really great things in our last community conversation from families about thinking about this visioning work and asking questions. Right now, we've been working on thinking through what students might look like what might kind of our vision of a Belmont High School student be characterized by. And families at our last community conversation said, well, shouldn't we also be thinking about if we're looking at what learning is going to look like, shouldn't we also focus on what teaching is going to look like in the Belmont Public Schools and create a profile of what teaching looks like in Belmont? So that is another piece of work that we're excited to begin.
But you'll be working with teachers on that?
Yeah. Yep. The educators brought their draft thinking
a
vision to our March event. It was great. And I think we learned from each other, which is exactly the spirit that we want to come to the BFN events with. And I think we all view it as just the beginning of a conversation that we're excited to continue. And I think it will be even more impactful to have the students at the table with us.
Yeah, I agree. Now, as far as you know, an organization like this doesn't exist in other towns, neighboring communities. Do they have anything like this?
That's not necessarily true. Amanda and I have been trying to convey that we didn't make this idea up of a family engagement organization. In fact, there's a statewide network of family engagement organizations and nationally as well. There's a whole body of research that supports that family engagement, if done well, can have a really big impact on student outcomes.
That's great.
We've posted some of that on our website. So yes, other districts have organizations. Some of them are housed within the district. So they might have a staff person who is focused on family engagement as a director of family engagement. That is a paid position by the district in Belmont. As we know, that's unlikely.
We have the funding for that.
That is unlikely. But so we're starting as a volunteer organization, but hoping to get the same kind of work done.
Okay. Well, we're going to wrap this up soon. So I think if you could just tell people if they want to get involved, how do they get involved?
Yeah, so we have a website that you can register at, which is www.belmontfen, as in Family Engagement Network.org. And that is the best way to sign up to be a part of our network, where you'll receive invitations to our events, our convenings, and also just on our website, as Jill said earlier, we post all of the information from each of the convenings so folks can stay involved in that way. And we just encourage as many families as possible to participate in this. It is both a cathartic for families to have a place, especially during this time where it's so hard to get together with folks and we're discouraged from doing that, that we can provide this space. So that's just one silver lining to doing this work now. But longer term, it really is about the key role that families play in their child's education. We know that we are the most important influence on our child's education as parents and as caregivers. So we encourage our families to get involved and engaged in crafting and co-creating this vision for Belmont Public Schools, because all of our kids depend on it.
What about social media? Are you on social media?
We're on Facebook. Yes, we are. Belmont Fenn on Facebook. So we are there. Not yet on Twitter. And I don't think we're Instagram yet. So that's probably a great role for a student member to join our group and to help us out with all of that. Social media work that
How are you getting the word out? What is your main way of getting the word out?
I mean, a lot of it, we'd been fortunate to get some help from the district in getting out some of our communication for our convenings. So we hope to continue with that. And then of course, we keep trying to recruit folks through our Facebook and encouraging folks through the Belmont Family Network page to come join ours as well.
We also have these amazing posters that we put up that Amanda spearheaded all over town with a QR code.
We'll have to check that out. I have not seen them, but I haven't really been out much. But
they're specifically for registering for our events. So as May 5th gets closer, be on the lookout.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, everyone, thank you for tuning in. I want to thank Jill and Amanda for coming on the show. I forgot to mention how I do know Jill, by the way. Jill was on the school committee. She served as a school committee member. And she also was on the board for the Belmont Special Education Parent Advisory Council. That is a mouthful. We call it CPAC. But I believe you're still involved with that in some
capacity? I'm not as involved. Nope. I do. I am a special ed mom, and I do try to attend the events as a participant now. But I am, and we are looking forward to working closely with CPAC and LPAC and some of the other parent advisory groups.
Oh, great!
Moving forward, so we're hopeful about partnerships there.
Yes. So I want to thank you both for coming on the show. Thank you, Jill and Amanda. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. I'm your host, Joanna Jubilis, senior multimedia journalist for Wicked Local Belmont, Belmont Citizen Herald, and host of my favorite show in Belmont, Belmont Buzz. I'll buzz off for now.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.